Certainly happy to see your presence this morning. It's good to see those who were not here last Sunday. We're thankful, and any time that members are away, we miss them very much. And there are those away today, and we miss them and hope they'll be back with us soon. Appreciate the good Bible study with Brother Bob and the good Christ-focused lesson with Brother Neil and the singing, the prayer. We'd like to study this morning on the subject of the Christian home. We've had a series of lessons on the Christian home, and this is number four, and it's the duty of parents. Being a parent is a great responsibility. Wife and I, we just celebrated our 56th anniversary, the 24th of September, and Brother Morris and Mary celebrated their anniversary. I think it's 57 or 58 one, I'm not sure. And Lloyd and June have been married for over 50 years, so a lot of years of marriage, and it's important that we have a good home, a good family, as God would have it to be. Marriage is a sacred institution that joins a man and woman. In the beginning, God created Adam and then Eve. He took a rib from the side of Adam and created Eve and joined them together as husband and wife. Holy matrimony. Marriage is very important. When a person makes that decision to marry, they need to be very careful of the person that they're marrying, that it's for life. Each with their God-given duties to one another. We have duties and responsibilities to one another. In our lessons before, we have considered the duties of husbands who are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Husband is to respect their wives, honor their wives, and support their wives in every way. Also, we have considered the duties of wives. The wife is commanded to submit to her husband as we are to Christ. The wife is to love her husband. The wife is to manage the home. God's purpose for marriage is to create families in which children have the benefit of parents who provide the best upbringing that is possible. And for this to occur, parents must fulfill their duties. And so we have very important duties, responsibilities as parents toward our children. We need to love our children, honor our children, be good to our children. My wife and I, we have four children. I think it's 10 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. We've been blessed to be able to see our grandchildren grow up and then see several great-great-grandchildren. This past week, we took care of two of our great-grandchildren, and it's not easy when you get old to take care of little babies and little children, but yet we enjoy being with them. We notice, first of all, the duties of fathers toward their children. A father is to provide life's necessities. We are to provide for our children, to take care of them. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul wrote, says, "Now for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, but I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Of course, children, as they're young and as they grow up, we as parents, fathers especially, are to provide for the children, provide for their needs. Now, we're not required to buy them a new automobile. You're not required to buy them a new modern computer or iPod or the latest technology or the most expensive shoes that they might want. But we are to provide them with food, clothing, shelter, and education. A father who fails to do for his family, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel. A father that neglects his children, that doesn't provide for them, is worse than an infidel. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so you can't get any worse than that. We're to love our children, provide for our children to their necessities. Also, a father is not to provoke their children to wrath. As we raise our children, our sons and daughters, we need to be careful. Careful how we raise them, that we don't provoke them, that we don't break their spirit, that we don't cause them to become angry at us and hate us and despise us. There's a lot of sons or daughters that hate their fathers because of the way that they were brought up. The father provoked them to anger and to hatred because the father was not what they should have been. Yes, this admonition is found twice in the scriptures. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. There was this one father, he was a preacher, and he traveled all over preaching. But the way that he raised his children and the way he treated his wife, the son, actually hated the father. And the mother died as a result of the treatment. And the son held this against the father. Colossians 3 and verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. And so let's not discourage our children in the way that we raise them, we treat them, but encourage them. Children can become angry because of unreasonable commands. Fathers can be unreasonable. Yes, by needless severity. Sometimes fathers are very severe with their children. They beat their children, abuse their children. And by the manifestation of anger, according to Barnes, a concordance. Children become angry by continually finding fault with them. They lose all courage and despair of ever pleasing you. And so if we're always fussing, always arguing, always punishing our children, then of course they think, well, they can't please you. And then they certainly are discouraged. Parents are to love and be kind to their children. Have respect and encourage them in doing what is right. Also, the fathers are to provide spiritual training for the children. A Christian father is to provide that spiritual training for his children. Teach them the Word of God. In training, discipline, and admonition, instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Train them, teach them the Word of God, the Bible. Talk to them about God and about Jesus and what He does for us. Training by way of instruction. We notice back in the Old Testament, the children were to be taught about God. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That is, in all occasions and all opportunities, he says, teach your children diligently. That's exactly what we need to do as Christians. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 78, verses 4 through 6, says, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. And so generation after generation, we're to teach our children, tell them about the praises of the Lord and the strength and His wonderful works that He has done. It's to be handed down from one generation to another. Note that the Word must first be in the Father's heart. God's Word is in our hearts, and we want to tell our children about God. The Father can lead His children like Joshua led his family. We need to follow the example of Joshua. In Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so Joshua was determined that he and his house would serve the Lord. This should be our attitude. Training by way of example. Yes, when the father is an active believer, there's a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. And so we as fathers are to be a good example before our children. Am I faithful to attend the services? Am I faithful in obeying God and doing the will of God and serving God? Am I faithful in obeying the laws of the land? Am I being the example that I should be to my children? You know, we can't deceive our children. They know us. They know whether or not we're sincere or hypocrites. If only the mother is a believer, the likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. The children will become active believers. And so it's important for the father and the mother to be Christians, to be good examples before the children. Our children are watching our lives. They can see if we're sincere or not. We must practice what we preach, do what we believe to be right. Also, the fathers provide loving discipline for the children. Even as our Heavenly Father disciplines His children, God has set example for us. He corrects us. He disciplines us. We are to discipline our children. In Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 10, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have a human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more ready be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us, as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." And so God disciplines His children as the Father is to discipline His children. Even though our Heavenly Father discipline may be unpleasant at times, when a father disciplines and corrects his children, it may not be pleasant. In Hebrews 12 and verse 11, "Now no chastening seems to be joyous for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so when you correct your children, you may have to spank your children or correct them. It's not pleasant. You don't enjoy it. But you know that it's for the good. In Proverbs 13 and verse 24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." And so if we fail to discipline our children, we don't love our children like we should. We notice the duties of mothers. Love your children. You know, there's a lot of mothers that don't love their children. They give up their children. They want to get rid of their children. An older woman were to admonish the younger women to love their children. In Titus 2 and verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so you would think it would be natural for a mother to love her child and to raise her child up and treat her, the child, as it should be. But sin can lead to a lack of proper affection. in Romans 1 and verse 31, says, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Yes, a person, because of sin, can be unloving. Many women that are addicted to drugs, drugs is their main purpose in life, and they neglect their children. They don't even provide enough food for them to eat. They want their drugs first. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Yes, in the last days, he said, they would be without natural affection. That is, mothers that will not love their children and take care of their children. Tragically, more than 200 women kill their children in the USA each year. 200 mothers that kill their children. There's millions of mothers that have aborted their babies, killed their little innocent babies. Yes, it's sad to think that mothers that do not love their children. Also, the duties of mothers is to manage the household, to see after the household, a primary responsibility of the mother. In Titus 2 and verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And so the mother is to be a homemaker, to see after the family, to see to the needs of the children and the family. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, to manage the house, to be a homemaker. The most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all those has to be somebody special, and she is. She's a homemaker. Yes, a homemaker, a mother that sees to the needs of her family. She's all of these things. Also, the mother is provides spiritual training for the children. I know my wife, when the children were small, she would read Bible stories to them, and they enjoyed them. And even our oldest son, who has not obeyed the gospel, enjoyed reading, hearing those stories when he was young. Especially when male leadership is lacking, the mothers are to see to the needs of the children. We notice the case of Timothy. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. In Acts 16, verse 1 says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. His father probably wasn't a believer, but his mother was a faithful Christian. And perhaps contributing to Timothy not being circumcised because the father was a Greek. And Paul took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Timothy had become a disciple, well spoken of. Yes, he was a faithful Christian because of his mother and grandmother. In Acts 16 and verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. His faith was influenced by his grandmother and his mother. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I persuaded in you also. And so here we see that Timothy was trained in the way of the Lord. He was taught by his grandmother and his mother, and he became a faithful preacher of the gospel. Too often, fathers neglect spiritual training, and the mothers have to pick up the slack. There are 7 ways to impact your child's faith. Model a growing and a personal faith. Yes, have a strong faith. Include faith in normal conversations. Talk to your children about Christ and about the Bible and about God. Be well-rounded. Be authentic. Serve together. Pray for your children and with them. Learn and communicate love in their language. Teach them to love all mankind. Yes, in conclusion to our lesson, blessed are the homes in which fathers fulfill their duties as Christian men. Mothers fulfill their duties as Christian women. No home is perfect. We all make mistakes. And as fathers and mothers, sometimes we fall short. But we should try to do the best that we possibly can. With God's grace and mercy, let's do the best that we can. If you have children, train them in the way they should go. Be a good example before them, that they might walk in your footsteps. Yes, let us give our children the guidance that they may succeed where maybe we have failed when we raise our children. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, then you must obey God. There's no other way. Faith comes by hearing God's word. You must have faith in God and believe that He is. Repent. Turn away from all your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so if you're not a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel now? Why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?